This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
For writers and those who dream of writing, and for everyone who wants to know the story behind the book. Coming to you from Tantalk Radio Network Studio in glorious Clearwater, Florida, the perfect place for writers to write and readers to enjoy a good book. Okay, that was fun. I think I was on the wrong mic. I'm so sorry. It's unbelievable. This is my second anniversary, and I still didn't get it right. But anyway, I have Big Ed in the control room, and I am so grateful to him. And today, as I said, is my second anniversary, and it's a very special day for me. Just over 2 years ago, if you had told me I would have a radio program, I would never have believed it. And now it's my second anniversary, and I am so thrilled that I have my very first guest back on today. And she is one of the most famous literary agents in New York City, and I am so just overwhelmed to welcome back to the program Irene Goodman. Hi, Irene.
Hi, Patsy. Thanks for having me, and congratulations on your second anniversary.
Okay. Well, thank you so much. It's just, as I said, it's so amazing. I can't believe, you know, the time has gone so quickly, and that I have spoken during the past 2 years to so many fantastic people. People that I had only dreamt of ever talking to, and including now I've spoken to 8 of the Mystery Writer of America Grandmasters, and of course so many best-selling authors, and of course you, because you started off the program with a bang. And I don't know, at the time I didn't tell you that you were my very first guest, and I didn't know what I was doing, and it was just...
You were flawless. I thought you were very professional, and it was very exciting for me, and it's no less exciting now. And you know, the thing about talking to best-selling authors is you find out they're people, too.
They are, and they're wonderful people. I have been so thrilled with the reception I've gotten from them, because I'm almost crying, because today has been really an emotional day, because I don't just do interviews, you know, talking about their books, because most of these authors, I know their books so well. and in many cases, I was talking to Mary Higgins Clark, and I mentioned a certain book, a certain character, one of her books, and she said, "Did I write that?" And I said, "Yeah."
Yeah.
Yeah, because I read, you know, so very much, and I do have one of those memories that I can remember books, and I often can remember actually a page, and someone will mention something, and I will say, "Well, I know it's on the left-hand side, about page 56. And they'll say, "What?" And I say, "Yeah, I you know, so I know these authors' work so well." And then to just be able to talk to them has been a thrill. Carolyn Hart, for example, I had read every one of her books from the very beginning. And then to get to talk to her and to find out she is just such a wonderful, warm human being. And she sent me boxes of autographed books for me to share with my listeners.
That is wonderful.
I mean, I was just so thrilled. It's just been so amazing. And with many of the other writers, now I've had them on, you know, quite a few times. And so we've gotten very friendly, and we, you know, chat online and stuff like that. And it's just been a thrill. And it really started with you, because, you know, when I started the program, this is an example of what people can do when they're determined.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because I had no idea. When I started the program, I literally knew no other writers, certainly in I hadn't spoken to anybody famous. I knew no literary agents. And I picked you quite fortuitously. How can I even pronounce it today? My son, David, who was living in San Francisco at the time, had seen your name in as a speaker at the San Francisco Writers Conference.
Mm-hmm.
And so I thought, well, she must know something. And I had, you know, talked a little bit, looking around for literary agents. And then everybody was saying, well, Irene Goodman is the goods, you know. I think a lot because you're well known for your power summits. And so there were a lot of little write-ups about, you know, if you're looking for an agent, Irene Goodman really follows an author's career. And so I just decided to try you. And it was, when I got through to you, I was like shocked. And then that you agreed to come on, it was just so wonderful for me. And I'm so thrilled. So tell us what's new on your schedule. You have some new best-selling authors.
Yes, there is a lot going on here, and I'm going to start with what to me is the most exciting. I consider this to be the most important book I have ever sold, ever worked on. It's called Survivor's Club. It was an instant New York Times bestseller last week, and we'll look to see if it's on the list again this week, but it made the list instantly. It is the true story. It is a memoir of Michael Bornstein, a man who is today in his 70s with 4 grown children and 11 beautiful grandchildren. But when he was 4 years old, he survived the Auschwitz concentration camp. And that is just it's a remarkable, triumphant story of him and his whole family. And what makes it a little different from other Holocaust memoirs, all of them are important, of course, but his motto is, this too shall pass. That there's always hope, and there's always room for optimism. And he has a wonderful life as a result. And the funny thing about this book is the way it came to me. It was my husband sometimes reads the slush for me. Slush is the never-ending pile of unsolicited queries, but we take them very seriously. We look at them. And my husband, Alex, was looking through them one day for me. He's very good at it. He's actually better than I am. And he came over to me and he said, whatever you're doing right now is not as important as this. You have to look at this right now. So I did, and 2 days later I was representing the book, and a few weeks later it was sold in an auction. So that was very exciting, and it is my hope that this book will become one of the great classics in the world of Holocaust literature. But that's not the only exciting thing that's going on. Barbara Powell, my excellent colleague, I'm going to mention all of my colleagues, and they're all excellent. Barbara just came back from a vacation in Florida. And what do you think she did on her vacation? She held an auction. And she sold a couple of books.
Oh, wow.
Who else would Barbara would do that?
She's amazing. She's wonderful. You know, my listeners love her.
She's
as a matter of fact, she's featured on my webpage because the minute she said to the listeners when she was talking about query letters that they have to concentrate on the hook, the book, and the cook, that just resonated with all of the listeners. And I had so many wonderful comments after she appeared on the show.
Well, Barbara, aside from being very able and competent, is hilarious. Just never a bad quality. Anyway, the thing she sold is a Viking fantasy young adult novel. And what's so interesting about this is that the Vikings had various gods who warred with each other. And what this book is really about is how religious wars are really pointless, which is a great message for today or any day. So that's what Barbara did on her vacation. And then staying in the children's area, Victoria Marini, who works with us, sold a book called The Gauntlet that will be out, I believe, March 28th. It is kind of a Middle Eastern steampunk Jumanji. It's about a Bangladeshi American girl who must save her little brother inside the magical world of a board game. What a cool concept.
It is.
And this book made the inaugural list, the first list ever of Salaam Reads, which is for Middle Eastern books. So we're very pleased to have that kind of diversity in our agency.
Well, your agency, as I said, is so well known for your Power Summits and how you work with authors. I know that Barbara worked with Tracy Chi for mm-hmm. that fantastic book that came out, The Reader. And and really, you concentrate on trying not just to get, you know, a one-time deal, but to really help authors build their careers.
Oh, we're in it for the duration, absolutely. Yeah, we want to represent the whole career and really get to know the author and what his or her goals are and help them to manage those goals and keep their vision alive and always be looking for the next step and the next pathway. It's not just a question of being on a treadmill, because that gets old for everybody. So we represent the whole career.
Well, you know, it's just so fantastic, the response I've had from your authors, too, like Michelle Gable. I had Michelle Gable on, Oliver Magny, just so many wonderful authors that you have in your list of authors.
Yeah, we're very proud of our list. We do have wonderful authors. And can I mention just a couple more books?
Absolutely.
Should look for? One is, it's been out for a while, and it's done very well, and it's gotten a lot of respect. It's a young adult novel called Symptoms of Being Human, and it's about a gender-fluid boy and how he copes in the world. It made the Lambda Award list as a finalist. So it may well win the Lambda Award, which is for the LGBT community. So again, we're having that kind of diversity in our agency that we're looking for more of it. We would like our list to represent the United States of America as it really is, and especially for children coming into this country to know that they, too, are represented. So that's just a really wonderful book. It has a really, I love the title, Symptoms of Being Human, and it has a really cool cover, too. People want to look it up online, they can see the cover. And then, finally, I have to talk about this book because this is one of these little books, and I mean little physically. It's a tiny little book that just took off and is doing so well. And it's this very charming little book. It's called How to Pack. Like how to pack a suitcase.
Uh-huh.
And it's the way they designed the cover, it is so elegant and beautiful. It looks like a little suitcase, like it has leather on it. They spent some time and money and designing this thing, and it's just beautiful. And it's selling all over the world. And it's one of those little books that just takes off. It's kind of like if Marie Kondo, you know who Marie Kondo is.
Uh-huh.
I love Marie Kondo, the ultimate in organization.
Oh, I know.
Marie Kondo wrote a book about packing.
I know. I've been trying to get her on, actually, because I love that book.
Yeah, well, I don't see why you shouldn't be able to get her. I mean, authors like to talk about what they're doing and what's going on. It's just a question of getting to them. That sometimes is the hardest part.
Exactly, because everybody needs to be organized. I love that.
Yeah, and it's written with a lot of charm, and it's very direct, but it's also, it's just fun to read.
Well, I love little books like that. I have a whole collection of little books from the 19th century, really tiny little books that they used to do for people who would go on trains on journeys, and they could just put it in their pocket. They were really the original pocketbooks. They're very tiny, beautifully bound in leather, and I have a whole collection of them.
What fun.
It is. It is. I love that. Well, yeah. You know, I don't want to let you go without having you mention your critique auction. So please explain that to people, because I think it's a wonderful opportunity for authors to get really wonderful feedback on their work.
Okay, well, I think it says something about my eternal optimism that I do this. If anyone goes to my website, IreneGoodman.com, right on the homepage, you can click and you can see what it's all about. Every month I do two critiques of partial manuscripts, three chapters and a detailed synopsis. And to get one, you go to my webpage, and a few clicks later, you'll be on eBay. And all you have to do is make a bid, or there's a buy it now price. You can do that and have it immediately. I've been doing this now for, I don't even remember how many years. It's like something like 7 or 8 years. And it's been very, very gratifying to me to do it, because after you do something for a long time, you don't realize it, but you learn a lot. I have become an expert in my field. Not because I'm such a genius, but because I'm doing it for so long and I'm so passionate about it. I'm always interested in learning new things. And I have come to a place where I can really analyze the craft of writing and understand what every novel is actually made of. And so I think I give very good critiques, and people go on this and they bid, and everyone who has ever gotten a critique from me has thanked me enormously. Like, people have said it changed their life, which I didn't expect that. Or one guy said it far exceeded his expectations. No one has ever complained. Nothing has ever gone wrong, because I am so committed to it, and it benefits various charities. Two of my favorites are the Foundation Fighting Blindness and the Hearing Health Foundation. But I also sometimes benefit Doctors Without Borders, which is a wonderful group that gives medical care to people all over the world, and also St. Jude's Hospital, which was started by the actor and comedian Danny Thomas. I don't know when, maybe in the 1950s. He once had a serious, it was an illness or an accident of some kind, and he pledged that if he survived, that he would build a hospital for children with life-threatening illnesses, and that it would never cost them anything. And he did it. He did that. So some of the money goes to that hospital. So I'm very proud of doing this. I hope that I'm setting an example for other people in the industry to give something back. Not because you should, but because, well, you know what? Number one, it just feels so good. And it feels so right. It feels like the right thing to do. And also, when you do it, it makes you feel pretty smart. You realize how much you've learned and how much you have to share. And I really enjoy sharing it.
Well, Irene,
all the money, 100% of the money goes to the charities. I think PayPal takes out a few dollars.
Yeah, they handle in fees, but I know that. That's what I wanted to tell everyone, that all the money does go to charity.
Yeah.
It's a wonderful, wonderful thing that a writer could do for themselves. Or if you have a writer in your life, it's a wonderful gift to give. Because to have this from Irene Goodman, who really knows her business, is just a wonderful thing. And Irene, I want to thank you so much for joining me today. I know you're going to come back. We're going to try to arrange a date in April when you'll come back with Mr. Bornstein to talk, and perhaps his daughter, to talk about Survivors Club, because, as you said, it is an important book and one that I want to share with all of my listeners.
Well, thank you, Patsy, so much. Congratulations again. And I'm sure we'll talk soon.
Absolutely. I'll get to you with some open dates, and we'll have you back on sometime in April, okay?
I'm looking forward to it.
Okay. Thanks, Irene.
Okay. Take care.
Okay. Bye now.
Bye.
Okay. We're going to go to some commercials now, and we'll be back in a little while.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Are you an author, an artist, an inventor? Then you need to protect your valuable intellectual property. You need Larson & Larson. We have the experience and knowledge to help you with all of your legal needs, from processing trademark, copyright, or patent applications to negotiating licensing agreements and handling litigation. The attorneys at Larson & Larson in Largo, Florida can help protect you. Call us today for a no-cost consultation at 727-546-0660 or visit our website at larsonpatentlaw.com.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow. And like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat. I would flip-flop all night long. I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed. It's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose.
And to celebrate March as National Sleep Awareness Month, Mike is offering 50% off his 4-pack special.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 1-800-871-1543 and use the promo code PATSY, and Mike will offer you free shipping. Once again, that's 800-871-1543, promo code Patsy, P-A-T-Z-I.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hi, this is Patsy with a Z, and I'm back. And before I go to my next guest, I want to just say how one of the wonderful things about having this program is that I have been able to meet and help so many local authors. And two of my very favorite are Trish and Ray Arredondo. And it was an honor to have Trish on the program last year for my first anniversary. And I want, if you are interested in preserving your family's history, in writing a memoir that will be something that will be cherished by your family for generations to come, I strongly suggest that you read Trish and Ray's book that they wrote, a memoir about Ray's mother. It is a true story called Maria's Journey, and it's a story of Maria's immigration from Mexico to the United States. And with the idea of immigration being part of all of our lives, all of us have family who came from somewhere, or most of us, it is a wonderful thing to be able to preserve this. Now, Ray and Trish did such wonderful research, and they have written a very compelling memoir, and I would suggest you go to their website. It's called mariasjourney.com, and you can get a free sample there, and you can learn a little bit about how they did the research, because it is a process when you're trying to get all, you know, immigration records and to collect the memories of your family from your relations and from friends and from neighbors, and to collect all of this and then to put it into a book that is a wonderful read, a compelling read, and one that will really help you to focus on preserving these fantastic memories. So it's called Maria's Journey. It's you can get it at Amazon, of course, but I suggest you go to their website, mariasjourney.com. Now, I'm going to go to my next guest, who is, he was my third guest when I started this program. And the wonderful thing about him, he was my first New York Times bestselling author. And I was so thrilled that he appeared on the program. I was very nervous at the time, and I think he was also the first guy I spoke to, and I wasn't sure what he would be like. You know, I had not spoken to any best-selling authors, and so it was a little intimidating. But Douglas Brunt, whose book, two books, I talked about at that time, The Ghosts of Manhattan and The Means, just turned out to be the most wonderful, wonderful person. As a matter of fact, after the interview, he overnighted a copy of one of his books and wrote me a very lovely dedication, which is on my webpage. If you go to my webpage, it's radio-joyonpaper.com, and he is on my featured page because I really, really enjoy talking to him. So we're going to go now to Doug Brunt.
We'll have Manhattan, the Bronx, and Staten Island, too. It's lovely going through the zoo. It's very fancy on old Delancey Street, you know. Subway charms us so when balmy breezes blow to and fro.
Hi, this is Patsy with a Z, and I am back with a very special guest. I know I shouldn't say this, but he is my absolutely favorite guest. Hi, Doug.
It's great to be back with you, Patsy.
Well, Douglas Brunt was one of my very first interviews. And I can't believe that it's almost, you know, that it's been 2 years, my second anniversary. And so you are a very special guest for my second anniversary, because I don't know if you realized at the time that I didn't know what I was doing when I interviewed you.
I did not realize that at the time at all.
It was so funny. I was so scared. I just interviewed, well, it was my third interview, actually, but my first big New York Times best-selling author, and I was so scared. And then I got you on the phone, and as I mentioned at the time, and I heard from some of my listeners, particularly my husband and my brother, that I made a fool of myself when I interviewed you, because I put your picture, your Facebook picture, up, and I spent half my time looking at your Facebook picture, and my brother claims that I was like a giggly schoolgirl. And he thought, well, I'm not sure if that's very professional. And I said, well, what could I do? You know. So now I don't have to put your Facebook page up, because I have you on my webpage. I don't know if you're aware that I have a big story about you on my webpage.
I have not read that yet.
Well, you have to go and read it, because I have there the story of how much I enjoyed talking to you. And, of course, this song, which I play every day, it's on my sort of daily playlist to put me in a good mood. When I think of Manhattan, which is because I play this song almost every day, I think of you. So I think of you every day.
That is so nice, Patsy. You were one of my early interviews as well. That was early on in the writing career and doing radio and TV for me. So we're babes at that time.
And, you know, I have to tell everyone that your book, Ghosts of Manhattan, is so fantastic. And that's the book that we talked about at the time. And we're going to be talking again. You're coming back. Your new book is coming out May 30th, and it's called Trophy Son. And you're going to be coming back for a longer interview. This is sort of a shorter interview because it's for my anniversary program. But I just couldn't celebrate without talking to you.
That is so nice of you to have me back on.
And I want people to know that I think Ghosts of Manhattan is such a fantastic book. And it is a book that they should read, because while I was very thrilled when, you know, at the time, of course, you didn't have all the great reviews yet that you got afterwards. And I was so pleased when I saw that Steve Forbes, the big Steve Forbes, really liked your book.
That was great. That book was set on Wall Street and discussed a bond salesman for Bear Stearns and the lead up to the financial crisis in 2008. So it was, and there were a lot of, while it doesn't get too geeky in the financial details, you do get an understanding of how it all came to be.
Oh,
and so
absolutely.
I was very happy to have Steve Forbes, you know, someone who really knows the inner workings of Wall Street and economics, to
And he could see how authentic it was. And as I mentioned at the time, you know, I'm here in Florida, and we all lived through that horrible time. And many people didn't understand what was going on. And that's why your book, it's just done so well. And you write about it, and you really get into you're getting into the nitty-gritty without us realizing that we're in the nitty-gritty. And it's just fantastic. And as I mentioned, I love your main character. And Nick Farmer is just one of my favorite, all-time favorite characters.
Oh, thank you.
I think you've done it brilliantly. And I was so impressed with people who have been talking. Well, of course, Steve mentions that he compares you to Charles Dickens, Theodore Dreiser, and Tom Wolfe. Whoa, not
that
bad.
That was a great review to get. I'm very happy about that.
Absolutely. And he's right, you know. Plus, we're going to throw in a little Great Gatsby in there, some Fitzgerald, whom I know you admire very much. And your writing is so fine-tuned in Ghosts of Manhattan. I cannot tell people enough. When I've been talking now in this 2 years, you know, when I started, I don't know if you realize that when I started this radio program on my first day, I didn't even know, you know, other than putting on the earphones, I didn't know any of the buttons or anything. I mean, I was completely, I had no background in radio. And so it was so funny. And I had to, you know, I really learned everything very quickly. And since then, I receive, you know, like 4 or 5 books every week from the major publishing houses. So as you can imagine, I've read a lot of books over the last 2 years. And your book still stands out to me.
Thank you. Wow, I don't feel worthy of this praise, but I'm loving it.
Well, no, you are worthy of this praise because I think that your writing, you know, in Ghosts of Manhattan, what you've managed to do there, because the people aren't all goody-goody, there are bad people and good people, and I love Nick Farmer who understands that he's going in the wrong path and is looking for some way to become a better person. And I relate so well to him. And I think all the readers really feel that you have put so much into Nick.
He is a complicated character because he's certainly neither good nor bad. I think you find he's obviously, as good characters can be, a bit of both. And he's one of these people that was making big bonuses trading these financial instruments that helped create the real estate problem. But in the end, I think most readers find themselves rooting for him and hoping that he can come out the other side of his own personal crises. So,
well, I think you've done that brilliantly. You've made the reader care about him. We really want him to come out in the end okay. We want him to be able to find that inner strength that he doesn't know that he has, so that, you know, he doesn't become one of the absolutely horrible people that, you know, we just are disgusted by.
Yeah.
So
I've moved on from that topic. In the second one, as you know, The Means was political fiction, and in the third book coming up, it's the topic area is sports, and in particular, early single sport specialization for youth athletics, and how intense that is, and the pressures that put on kids, and how parents are a little obsessed with athletic and other achievements for their kids, and start over structuring and scheduling their little lives and not giving them as much freedom to be bored or experiment new things.
Oh,
A friend of mine was describing, he's like, you're like the Michael Lewis of fiction, in taking on these different areas and, you know, in my case, setting a fictional story with characters that play out within these different areas.
Well, I always tell my, you know, when I go to these writers' meetings, I mention that, you know, you found the time, mostly, I think, in airports to write your first book.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just a matter of doing it. And once you decided that you were going to write a book, you just found that time.
I did because I loved it. And I still do. I love that time of day. We drop the kids off. Our kids are in different schools. It's a little bit of a fire drill in the morning. But once the kids are off to school, I usually write from 9 to noon in the mornings. And in the afternoons can do edits and research and reading.
Well, I think,
and I treasure that time. I still love to get there and sit down and get after it.
Well, I think that also you have very good name selection. I love The Ghosts of Manhattan. I think that's a great title. And the new book is called Trophy Son. That's a great title.
I love it. The funny story behind that is that it was not the title that I had while I was working on the book. And for this book, it was the first time that from start to finish, before I wrote the first sentence all the way until I sold the book to the publisher, I had a title that I thought was a great title. And then I sat down with the editor for the first few meetings after, you know, they had bought it and we were working things. And he said, love the book, about the title. And so he wondered if I would be open-minded to changing it. My title, my working title the whole way through was Specialized, because it's about this early sports specialization and the main character is a tennis player. And so we went through rounds and rounds and long lists of possible titles and then landed on Trophy Son, which I actually like better than what I'd had before.
Oh, it's a good title. I think it conjures up right away an image that it's going to be a story about a son who is trying to achieve. And certainly I'm sure that's what the book is about. And so it's going to be a great read. And I want to tell everyone it's a wonderful time to pre-order it on Amazon, because the price is good when you pre-order. And I think that it would be just a wonderful thing to do.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. I did just get some blurbs in. Harlan Coben, who's a great writer that I admire, compared it to The Great Santini by Conroy and to The Natural by Malamud.
Wow.
So that was a nice blurb to get in. That is probably a blurb that will find its way onto the hardcover jacket.
Oh, well, I'm sure those are good. to be compared to The Great Santini is a wonderful, wonderful comparison. And I think that we're all going to be in for a big treat.
Well, thank you. I hope so. I hope you like it.
Well, you know, I always, you also have, what is your advice for writers? I love this, your main advice for writers.
But boy, it's tough. I feel like there's not much advice I can give that I think will change much. If you are someone who wants to do it and can do it, then you're going to do it. You know, regardless of what I say, the main advice I would give is just start writing. If you feel it's in you and it's something you want to do, then you just got to sit down and start writing. And the one thing I would say is don't start writing the novel. One thing I do is write a lot about the novel before I start writing page one. I'll do lots of research. I'll do thoughts or snippets out of dialogue out of sequence that might just be something I know is going to happen at some point. But just get stuff down. Because it's very daunting to face a blank page one. But if you have lots of notes, and I usually take the step farther of putting it all into a very detailed chapter outline. And then so when I sit down to page one, I've got 6 or 7 pages of notes for what chapter one is going to be all about. And that makes page one easier. So just start writing, but it doesn't necessarily have to be the first sentence of the first page. Just write down a bunch of stuff and get your notes together and then go from there.
But then once you have, you get going, make sure that first sentence is good.
That's right. Yeah. that is a real opportunity.
Absolutely. Well, as I said, I don't have a lot of time on this show today, but I wanted to have you on and to remind people about The Ghosts of Manhattan. The Means is also great. You know, I didn't want to, you know why. I don't want to get into politics. I think we don't need any politics right now.
It's nice to take a break from it.
It's nice to take a little break. And that's why I think to go to The Means, to go to Ghosts of Manhattan, and everybody, I'm telling everybody they should just listen to this Ella Fitzgerald song first, because it puts you in the mood. And once you're revved up to think about Manhattan, because you really do, that's one of the wonderful things I wanted to say too, that as one reads your book, one really feels that you're walking the streets of Manhattan, and I love that.
I live here, so it is helpful to me, and it's such a great thing to be able to have Manhattan be a character in the book.
It is.
To know Manhattan so well myself, I love being able to put some of that in there.
Well, you have, and that's I think that's one of the charms of the book, is that one feels one is in Manhattan, and one, and I, myself, personally, I imagine myself dancing around Manhattan with you. So, and I think many, many women will. And all they have to do is, here's a nice combination. All you girls out there, if you really want a good read, you get Ghosts of Manhattan, you put Doug Brunt's Facebook page up, and you have his photo there, and you play Ella Fitzgerald, and this, maybe also you have to add a glass of wine. And boy, this is a wonderful way to spend a day. That's what I suggest to everybody.
That is nice of you to say.
Well, Doug, you're going to come back at the end of May. I think the release date is May 30th, so we're going to look at our calendars and coordinate, and then you're going to come on for a longer time because, as I said, you are, in 2 years, I've spoken to hundreds and hundreds of writers now, and some of the most famous writers in the world, and also some of very handsome writers, but nobody compares to you in my book. And so that's why I just had to have you on. And my husband's probably going, oh, she's doing it again.
It is an honor to be here. Happy anniversary. And it's an honor to be back for this show. And I am very much looking forward to coming back in May.
Okay, Doug. Well, you take care. Have wonderful, wonderful time. Getting this new book out, I'm sure you're going to get a lot of great reviews as you got for Ghosts of Manhattan. And I look forward to talking to you again soon.
Thank you so much, Patsy.
Okay.
And congratulations to you.
Okay. Thank you very much. Bye-bye now. Bye, Doug.
Oh, well, as you can tell, I love talking to Doug Brunt. And I'm looking forward to talking to him at the end of May. So, as I said, this is a very special program. 2 years have gone by very quickly. I want to thank my husband who really made this possible. In many ways, he made it possible because it was because he was having knee surgery and I was up at 4 o'clock in the morning running to the hospital to bring him some cinnamon rolls and hot coffee because he didn't like the hospital food that I got the idea for this program. Because I was listening to another radio station and someone was reviewing a book and I realized the guy had not read the book. And I thought, well, gee, that's not very nice. You can't interview somebody if you haven't read their book. And so that's where I got the idea of doing a radio program because I realized that I have read so many books and I would enjoy reading more books. So I do have to thank my husband, Asher, for that. And then, of course, my boys, both of my sons, who I homeschooled for 20 years, David and Daniel, they were surprised and pleasantly surprised because they had helped over the years. Every time we moved from place to place, they had to pack and unpack my books for me. And so I think they were happy that I finally found a use for all the books that I made them schlep. And then, of course, my sister, Natalie, who is, I call her the connoisseur of cozy mysteries, and she does a lot of reading for me in advance for in case I miss an author. She never misses a cozy mystery author, and so she is one of these people who starts at the beginning and reads an entire series, so she really knows the characters. And it is always a thrill when she recommends a book. I know that when... she read local authors, several local authors' books, including Carol J. Perry, whose wonderful Witch City Mysteries really touched her. And then, of course, Rita Moreau, she and I both get a kick out of reading Rita Moreau's books. Rita has just a former IRS agent who has written really wonderful cozy mysteries and very... the kind of cozy mysteries that you learn something, and I always love to learn something from a book. And so my sister Natalie highly recommends Rita Moreau to everybody because Rita has a real talent with words, and her characters are so well developed, and she's just a lot of fun to read. So those are two of the cozy mystery authors that my sister helped discover. And I know that you will enjoy them. And both Rita and Carol are going to be back on the program sometime in May because I'm bringing back several of the authors who I've spoken to over the past 2 years. I want to catch up with them, see what they're doing, see how they've progressed, and also to learn from them. For all of you who are out there writing and you want some advice on how to go about either finding an agent or if you're indie publishing, some of the steps that can help you to reach a larger audience. Now, Rita Murrow has self-published, and she's also very active in her approach, trying to find different venues for authors and different companies or websites that are helpful to authors. And so I really have appreciated all of Rita Murrow's suggestions. And when she sends me something, I always look into it because I know that it'll be helpful to all of you. So if you are writing as an indie author, I want you to listen in during April. We're going to be talking a lot about the different ways, including, for example, Kindlepreneur, which is a website that will help you with your Kindle books, because there's really so much that you have to learn in order to reach the wider audience. And I'm really hopeful that I can help. And so that's one of the things I want to do. I have to say a special hi to my brother Tom up in northern Michigan. I think of him all the time, especially when we are having beautiful weather and he is having terrible weather. Oh, well, to me, terrible. But to him, he loves it. It is never cold enough for him. And so I want to say a special hi to him and to his wife, Debbie, because I know that they also were great, help in encouraging me to do this program. And I love that they also were the ones who told me about MyPillow, because my brother, being a younger brother, I can tease him. Of course, what does he do? He climbs on the roof to shovel the snow off, which happens quite often in the Upper Peninsula. And like a good youper, he does it himself because he doesn't want to listen to anybody about anything, and he can do it himself, and he can climb up on that roof, and he can get the snow down. Unfortunately, he did it twice, and he got himself down, too, and got himself stuck in the snow and injured his shoulders. But he found MyPillow, and he just was so excited about MyPillow, and he's been sleeping on it for a year. Since that was a winter ago that he injured his shoulder, and he kept saying, well, you have to get MyPillow as a sponsor because they're wonderful people. And I didn't know how to do it, actually. And so I, you call, and then people generally in this business, I discovered it's not easy to find advertisers. And but I was persistent, and my husband helped me with a few telephone calls too. But finally, I got through. And it was wonderful to find out that Mike Lindell is writing a book. And I know that sometime within the next 6 months or so, he's going to come out with his book. And he's going to come on to Joy on Paper to share the story of, wow, what he did. I mean, he is an amazing guy. He had been addicted to, I don't know, so many things. And he just decided to change his life around and started MyPillow. And after that, it's history. 25 million pillows later, and he's a great success. And I know that his book is going to be an interesting read, and I look forward to having him on the program sometime, I think, in the summer. And meanwhile, I have to thank Lola, who is listening in, I think. And I want to thank her so much for her support during this 2 years. And especially, I want to thank of course, Chris, who's been the afternoon guy in the control room, and I know that he's not going to be here for much longer, and I want to say a special thanks to Chris. And, of course, Big Ed. Big Ed is just wonderful. I drive him crazy. I know it because I do change things sometimes, and I do have to set up taping schedules, and I probably drive him crazy, but I love him. He is so wonderful, and he's so good with the people that he has to get on the phone for me and get them waiting and lined up. And so he does such a great job. And I want to thank you, Big Ed.
You know, I remember when you first had Doug on and you kept looking at his picture. I thought we were going to have to call security.
Look, the minute you say his name, I start giggling, and I can't help it. It was terrible. I didn't understand that I should have put his picture on, but once I had his picture on, I felt better. I felt good, and he is just so delightful, and we have become really chatting friends over the past 2 years, and I was so thrilled that you know, he came back on for this anniversary program because he's a wonderful person and very warm-hearted. And as I said, I got off the phone with him, he wrote this beautiful, beautiful dedication to me and overnighted the book to me. And I was, you know, that was the first book I received from an author. And so that was just something, it just touched my heart and really made me feel good. And I enjoy talking to him, as you can tell. Everybody can tell. My brother's going to send me an email saying, "Oh gosh, you're getting giggly again." So, but anyway, it's fun, and that's one of the joys, and the absolute joy is to be able to talk to all of these wonderful writers. And as I said, I've spoken now to 8 Mystery Writer of America grandmasters, and I hope to have another 3 or 4 on in the next few months, because it's just, they're always so fascinating, and they love to talk about their writing. And as I have discovered that most writers do, I have no problem getting them to talk about their books. So that's one of the things that I've been so honored to have, so many writers who now I get, as I said, I get so many books from publishers, but I also get writers who have heard about my program from other writers. And like Larry Block, one of the grandmasters, and he's been on my program now 3 times, and I just love him. And he sent me some absolutely wonderful other authors. So I want to thank all of you writers out there who have contacted me and all of your lovely messages. I received so many nice messages from you, and I want to thank all of you. And that's it. I can't stop, because I am talking about my program for Thursday. Thursday is going to be a wonderful program. I'm giving the entire hour over to Dr. James P. Gills, who has written some of the most inspiring books. I cannot tell you how touching his books are. It's just quite amazing. One of his books, Exceeding Gratitude for the Creator's Plan, and just all of his books are inspiring. He is an inspiring person. I love one of his books. I was just reading it. It's called God's Prescription for Healing. It's a wonderful book, and I am so looking forward to having Dr. Gills on the program on Thursday. So please join me on Thursday for that. And meanwhile, don't let anybody steal your joy. Share it, and just be good to somebody today. Say something nice to somebody. And thank you all for being here today for my 2nd anniversary program. Bye for now.